In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, January 27th, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you are just making it into work, or if you've decided to stay home today, or maybe you're still making it home from work yesterday, there are probably some folks who are still doing that. Thank you for listening to the program today. In hour number two, we're going to take a look at the KCX tanker competition. The Senate Armed Services Committee holding a hearing this morning despite the weather on that issue. And about an hour from now, I'll tell you who was at the hearing and what you're going to hear them talk about more specifically. Hour number one, as we do every Thursday on In Depth at this time, is industry chatter. And Wood Parker, the president and CEO of TASC, my guest today, and you deserve special credit today because every guest that I've ever had for Industry Chatter has been in studio, and you've kept that streak going despite the thunder snow that we had yesterday. So credit to you for doing that.
Well, thanks very much, Francis, but it's a pleasure to be with you, and we've been looking forward to participating with you on your fine program, so it's our pleasure to be here this morning.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's great to have you. Give me, to get us started, kind of the elevator speech about what your company does.
Well, TASC is an outstanding company. Obviously, I would say something like that.
Yeah, you're a little biased, I would imagine.
Completely non-objective in this regard. TASC is about 5,000 people, Francis. It's an outstanding company that works very, very diligently with our customers, primarily in the national security space and the public safety space, providing high-end systems engineering, systems integration, technical analysis to support them and their programs.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the situation. You do a lot of work at DOD, and the situation there has been on everybody's minds and lips ever since Secretary Gates first started this process back in May at the Eisenhower Library in Kansas, talking about what his vision was going to be to try to change the way the Pentagon does business. Talk about what you are experiencing with the people that you work with, both inside DOD and in some of the other companies that you work with, that you partner with to serve DOD, as far as what the vibe is that you're getting out of that agency regarding the changes that are coming there budget-wise.
Well, that, of course, is one of the most fundamental changes, and that is that the budgets are under pressure, and that is affecting companies like TASC and others. I will say that TASC has been around since 1966. We're over 40 years old. We've been owned by different corporations. We're independent and standalone again as we speak today. But we have been through the budget's increases, the budget's flattening, the budget decreases. So it is nothing, quote unquote, new to us in that regard. But to respond to your question about what we are sensing and feeling, that is the topic. Mm-hmm. What are the budgets going to be? What are the funding restrictions? How much budgets do the agencies actually have as they go through this process of determining how to respond to Secretary Gates' direction mm-hmm. and the tightening budgets?
Since you say this is not new, maybe a different flavor of the kind of things that have happened before, how does this compare to situations that we've seen when it comes to the ebb and flow of defense funding?
Well, I can think back to what I think was the last time we had this decrease in tightening of budgets was in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was a huge consolidation of companies in the defense industry and in the intelligence industry. And now, as a result of the government's concerns about organizational conflict of interest and other issues, we've seen a number of divestitures. Mm-hmm. So I would think that that would be one thing that would be different. But fundamentally, in terms of the budgetary pressures that we are seeing manifest today as it affects different programs, different agencies are reducing the funding for given programs. There is a significant feeling, to use your term again, that the government is wrestling with understanding how much budget do they actually have mm-hmm. and what can they count on for the rest of FY11 mm-hmm. and beyond. And that uncertainty is producing, I think, a hesitation to make decisions, or at least moving decisions down the road, which obviously affects industry and companies like TASC.
Yeah, the situation with the CRs over the last four or 5 years, it seems like the last 30 years to those who are trying to deal with this on a regular basis, certainly hasn't helped any, I would imagine. You used the term divestitures, and I find that interesting because I've noticed that as well. And a lot of the emphasis on the industry in the media on industry has been on the M&A part of it. And it seems to me that it's more appropriate to refer to it maybe as M&A&D because, or just call it maybe industry fluidity because it's not all focused on companies that are merging or buying each other.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, TASC was divested, a year ago this past December.
Mm-hmm.
And I would point out that we were the first of the companies like TASC who are providing these services, these systems engineering, technical analysis, financial analysis to our government customers, was the first one to break away from the large aerospace and defense firms.
Mm-hmm.
Others have followed us, but it is certainly something that has changed the landscape
mm-hmm.
in terms of the DOD space.
Mm-hmm. You obviously, I would guess, think it's a change for the better. What's the difference been for the Pentagon as far as the way that they are served by industry for this kind of divestiture?
Let me answer it both ways, from the perspective of DOD and the government, as well as from the perspective of companies like TASC. If you look at TASC, we are able to provide services and technologies that we today to different customers that we were not able to do when we were part of the aerospace and defense firm. We now, being separate, standalone, independent, non-conflicted, we can serve all of DOD, all of the intelligence community, and indeed all of the civil part of the federal government without the concerns, the restrictions, the constraints of organizational conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
From the perspective of the government, I believe that the government now has increased competition, which of course is important
mm-hmm.
for the government as well as the industry in general. But the idea of being able to access the technologies and the people and the capabilities of a company like TASC, which they couldn't before,
mm-hmm.
increases competition, gives them the access to the services that we can provide, and I think it's better for all concerned.
What services are your companies that are your agencies asking you for now? What kind of what trends are you seeing in the RFPs? Or and we'll talk about the collaborative process before the RFP comes out in a little bit too. But what kind of where's the money right now? Where's the business right now overall?
Well, one thing, we still live in a dangerous and uncertain world. The legacy of TASC is primarily in the intelligence community and on the intelligence side of DOD. And as I said a moment ago, we now can provide these capabilities across all of DOD as well as the civil part of the federal government. And given the fact that it is a dangerous and uncertain world, it is the missions of these different agencies, whether it be the intelligence community or the DOD. The idea of supporting our customers and their mission success is a keynote for TASC. It just permeates TASC throughout our population. So the services that they're asking for are that high-end systems engineering as they look at new programs. It's the high-end technical analysis as we now try to determine how can we extend the life
mm-hmm.
of existing programs and platforms. How can we ensure the continuing mission success of our customers in this dangerous world, but now within a budgetarily constrained environment?
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that concept, those three prongs of that fork, if you will, when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Wood Parker's my guest. He's president, CEO of TASC, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference, to make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and AVU Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The George Washington Colonials defend the Charles E. Smith Center against the best of the Atlantic 10. Richmond, Charlotte, Temple, and Dayton invade Foggy Bottom in the fight for conference domination. Get your four-game ticket package today and be a part of the battle plan. Call 202-994-6050 or visit gwsports.com now.
We've seen a lot of job losses, layoffs, companies leaving, companies shutting down.
We ship too many jobs out of this country. Putting people to work in the United States is what it's all about.
EADS North America is ready to support 48,000 American jobs right now. The Pentagon is deciding who will build the next generation of military aerial refueling tankers. And EADS North America has the only modern tanker, the KC-45, that's proven and flying today. Here's what real workers who will build the KC-45 in America have to say.
If EADS North America wins, it will mean a lot to this community, for our families to know that there'll still be jobs here, not only for us, but even for our children.
I know for my family, EADS, we put more food on our table.
Go to KC45now.com. Tell Congress to stand with these American workers. Let EADS North America put 48,000 Americans to work right away.
Being an Army veteran, the fact that I have a part in manufacturing something that is going to protect my fellow soldiers, that makes me proud. KC-45, real American tanker, real American jobs.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. What does a possible government reorganization mean for government contractors? We'll talk to Stan Soloway of the Professional Services Council. And the Department of Veterans Affairs spends millions of dollars studying post-traumatic stress disorder. Does VA get value for that money? GAO's assessment just out. We'll talk to him this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Wood Parker's president, CEO of TASC, my guest today on Industry Chatter. And before the break, Wood, we were talking about some of the ways that agencies are asking you to serve them. And one of them that you brought up was how to extend the life of systems that are already in place. Legacy systems, the phrase legacy systems, the term has almost become a buzzword because, for one thing, there are so many of them doing a lot of different things. And it seems from the outside looking in like there are a whole bunch of them that seem to be ending their lives, shall we say, for lack of a better term, all within a 2 to 5 year window. We're hearing a lot about agencies that are in that situation. Talk about, expand a little bit on what you were talking about earlier about helping agencies extend the lives of what they've got already in such a way that maybe they can try to get past where we are budget-wise now to a time when it's a little bit easier to try to bring in something brand new.
Surely. Francis, this goes back to our discussion of the pressures that the budgets are under. When the budgets are not under pressure, and let's say the budgets are growing, and the different agencies are building new platforms or new weapon systems or new programs, It is the capabilities that TASC brings in terms of that high-end systems engineering, that high-end analysis of cost versus risk versus schedule, et cetera. It's that systems engineering capability, systems integration capability that helps the government build those new programs. In a constrained budget environment, when there will not be new platforms and new programs and new systems, it is the same capability, that high-end engineering, that technical analysis, and the trades between risk and cost, et cetera, that need to be brought to bear to extend the life of existing platforms and systems. Mm-hmm. Those are the capabilities that we bring, and just within the context of the constrained budget environment, those are the capabilities that need to be applied to those existing platforms.
How do you answer Mr. or Miss Agency Person when they say, how do I decide whether I need to try to scrape together the money to install something new, or whether I can do what you're talking about and try to extend the life cycle of what I've got already?
One thing that TASC endeavors to do is to be a partner with our agencies. And so my response to that sort of issue slant question is that let us help you do the analysis and the analyses that will determine which is the most cost-effective, which is the most effective in terms of capability, which is the most effective in terms of mission effectiveness mm-hmm. and success.
But what does that analysis involve? How do you dig down? I know every system and every requirement is different, but generally, what's the process to get into that situation and find out what's there?
Well, it has to do with capability. It has to do with technologies existing or new. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the integration of different systems and piece parts and mm-hmm. technologies,
yeah.
which, again, pertain when you're trying to build a new system. Same capabilities and skills are needed to determine, do you need to build something new, or can you achieve mission success in a cost-effective way by using existing systems. Mm-hmm. Those are the skills and capabilities that we would bring to partner with our customers to help them make that decision.
Yeah, and that's more what I'm getting at, is the process. Is it similar or to or different from the experience that you'd have if you just decided going in, I'm going to blow out what I've got, I'm going to put something brand new in there?
I think, again, that in terms of the – think about it. You're looking at different factors. You're looking at effectiveness in terms of requirements. You're looking at mission success. You're looking at supporting the end users in the national security field. And you're looking at factors like cost. You're looking at factors like schedule,
mm-hmm.
whether you're building or whether you're trying to extend it.
When you go in and analyze these projects, when your people take a deep look at these things, are you finding, is there a breakdown as far as how often you wind up helping an agency build something new or rebuild what they already have? Is there a ratio, or is it really just so individual it's hard to?
I don't think there's a correlation to anything. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about today's systems is that they're all complex.
Yeah.
And what the government needs is that high-end capability, that system of systems approach and skill set that will help them make those decisions.
In the next segment, I want to talk, we have only about a minute left in this one, but I want to talk about the difference between cost and value. There's been a lot of discussion about agencies going for the best price and all the different, there's a million different terminologies for the various kinds of contracting that are going. But just before we go to the break, give me a thought or two about that cost versus value concept.
Well, it deserves more than what I'm about to say in a moment, so let's do that after the break.
Okay.
But my thought was that given the discussion we were just having about the cost and the schedule and the mission effectiveness of extending programs, that is what we bring, and it's about partnering with the customers.
All right, we'll talk more about that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Wood Parker's president, CEO of TASC, my guest for the hour on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. A reminder, in hour number two, the Senate Armed Services Committee this morning hearing about the KCX tanker contract, and you'll get highlights of that in the second hour of In Depth on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Radio. Stocks moving higher. The Dow is up 14, the NASDAQ up 18. And watch out, folks, here it comes. JetBlue told CNBC it's implementing a fuel surcharge. The airline reported lower fourth-quarter earnings on weather cancellations and higher jet fuel prices, but full-year profits rose. Lots of earnings reports today, among the others, Nokia's. The world's top cell phone maker's quarterly profits fell 21%, and the company expects little sales growth for this quarter. The New York Times reporting that Sara Lee's board has rejected two takeover offers and will probably pursue a breakup of the company into separate meat and coffee businesses. Sara Lee's shares down 6%. A surprising spike in claims for initial jobless benefits last week, but much of it's being blamed on snowstorms. And the government-appointed panel looking into the why of the financial crisis says it occurred because regulators and Wall Street executives ignored the warning signs and didn't manage the risks. Stephanie Shelton, CNBC Radio.
Nearly 500 miles away from where you are right now is a tall, healthy tree. In that tree, a bird sings a bright, clear song. Nearly 500 miles is also how far a CSX train can pull a ton of freight using only 1 gallon of fuel. A fact not lost on the tree or the bird. To find out more about the most environmentally friendly way to move goods over land, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Acura cars and SUVs are engineered to amaze. They're engineered to perform. But most of all, they're engineered to last, which makes buying a certified pre-owned Acura an easy decision. And during the Engineered to Last sales event, you'll find exceptional offers on every certified pre-owned Acura, including 0.9% APR for well-qualified customers. Visit your local Acura dealer or Acura.com today. Offer ends January 31st.
By providing access Operation to the care Senior they need Sentinel. And the quality they deserve, Medicaid health plans enhance health outcomes of our nation's underserved. Just listen to how a Medicaid health plan made a difference to Miriam.
I was 10 years overdue for my annual mammogram when my Medicaid plan case manager called and convinced me to just do it. The mobile mammography van my plan provided made it simple. Breast cancer runs in my family. That phone call may have saved my life.
Medicaid Health Plans of America, ensuring access to better health care. Learn more at MHPA.org.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to EnergyRecoveryOnline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to EnergyRecoveryOnline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's EnergyRecoveryOnline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
I wasn't born to go with the flow. I was born to make a difference. To make waves. I want my sweat and hard work to mean something. I was born to serve in the United States Coast Guard. If you were born ready to lead, to protect, to uphold the law, then visit GoCoastGuard.com. The United States Coast Guard. Born ready.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard. In cooperation with the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Plan now to attend the Federal Senior Management Conference, the preeminent conference for federal senior managers on April 10th through the 13th in beautiful Cambridge, Maryland. Presented by Fed Insider, FSMC is presented for government by government, with registration open only to government employees. Together with your peers, explore ways to execute the administration's newest policy initiatives to forward the business of government. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Wood Parker is president and CEO of TASK and my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we were talking about cost versus value. There is a fear, from what I have heard, among people in government, not the acquisition folks so much as the project managers and the CIOs and especially the CISOs who are thinking about cybersecurity issues, that there will be a drive because of the budget situation that we're in to buy the cheapest solution we can have. Agencies felt like internally, from what people tell me, that they're finally getting to a point where, first of all, they have the tools to understand and analyze lifecycle costs versus just the flat acquisition costs up front. And also then having the ability to do it, having the knowledge base and experience base to be able to do that. And now we're in a situation where that ability might not necessarily be appreciated or rewarded. What are your thoughts? Expand on what you were talking about a little bit before the break about that possibility, that situation.
I think, Francis, that given the pressures that the budgets are under, the uncertainty of funding availability, et cetera, it is a huge factor, particularly from the perspective of contracting officers and the acquisition community, because they're being pressured to buy capabilities and skills at a cheaper price than was the case previously. The old adage is you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And if you take that approach to the extreme, I would submit that the government will be buying things cheaper, but it will not be providing the value that the end users, that the mission, that the agencies actually require. Our hope from the perspective of TASK, and I think I speak for industry in general, is that the government needs to ensure that they're taking a strategic view of trying to analyze these different factors, cost being one of them, which we all understand, mm-hmm. but there is a mission component, there is a capability component, and there needs to be a strategic balance struck.
Mm-hmm.
We can still have the competition that the government and society needs. We can have the companies like TASK and others provide the capabilities that the government needs. But if, like anything taken to an extreme, it can be negative. Mm-hmm. And if we take this cost concern to an extreme, it will be damaging.
Are the agencies getting better, do you think, at being able to discern that cost-value ratio? They think they are.
I think they are. The government is improving mm-hmm. in that regard and across the board. There's no question about it. The government workforce is higher capable than they used to be. I just have the utmost respect for our government customers and the government workforce, and I think they are getting better in terms of that total cost issue you're referring to. But let's remember that if the pressure point is cost, mm-hmm. the concern is that becomes the most salient
yes.
factor. And if we let it go to the extreme, mm-hmm. then it will be damaging.
Now, talk about the people element of this for a minute, because to provide the services that you provide, you've used the term high end a number of times. That means you need a high end, highly educated, highly skilled, highly experienced workforce. And given what Secretary Gates and every other agency has talked about bringing more of the services that are provided right now by companies like yours into government service, That potentially is going to put a squeeze on you for people. You're competing against the same agencies you want to serve if it hasn't even done so already.
Well, our view and our experience to date, Francis, is that the government does want to bring these skills into the federal workforce. But when we talk about the high end, it is our experience that the government is not bringing that high-end capability. I think it's harder for them to recruit and to retain that truly high-end individual and individuals plural into the federal workforce. And that's why, from the perspective of TASC, we feel very good about our business in terms of what we're providing to the federal government. But I'll just use an example, the insourcing has been a topic for quite some time.
Yeah.
And although TASC, like most companies in our industry, have been affected by insourcing, TASC has been affected very, very minimally and kind of on the periphery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is that the government is bringing in these workers and this skill set more at the lower end of capability than the very high-end capability that we provide.
When you talk about the workforce overall, and you talk about the federal workforce improving and the overall knowledge base and experience base growing, people think about the pendulum swinging between too much contractor work, and then over here there's the idea that too much stuff being insourced. Where do you think we are on that spectrum? Are we finding kind of this center of gravity that's more appropriate, or do you fear that pendulum is swinging too much one way or the other?
I think the pendulum is still swinging, and we're trying to achieve that proper balance.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting that we are there. There are a multitude of factors that come into play on this particular issue. TASC is, again, a company that endeavors to be a good partner with our government customers. We recognize we hire people as they leave the government because we want to ensure that we've got that domain expertise, that we understand the agencies, et cetera. We spend an awful lot of time meeting with, interacting with our government customers to make sure that we are supporting them and their missions. But in terms of, and we recognize the need for the government to upgrade its workforce in certain areas, which Secretary Gates is encouraging and pushing, but it is not being done to the extent that it overly adversely affects companies like TASC.
Mm-hmm. My guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM is Wood Parker. He's president and CEO of TASC. And we'll continue our conversation when In Depth with Francis Rose goes on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Patrick Donahoe is Postmaster General of the United States.
retiree health care benefit money that we have to prepay. If that goes away, we know that between revenue generation and continued efficiency and cost reductions, we can make up the difference and be in the black this year. The loss of first-class volume puts a lot of additional cost pressure. We eventually will have to go from 6 to 5 days from a delivery standpoint in order to remain in the black.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Wood Parker, President and CEO of TASC, my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've been talking about people and the human element, a lot of these technological issues. And I imagine you're finding the same challenges when it comes to people and hiring that your peers that sit in that chair have told me, and that is, what recession? We can't find enough good people, right?
Well, it's certainly a competitive environment in terms of hiring people, Francis. TASC is hiring, like many of our competitors in the space. You know, we've talked about technology, and TASC invests a lot of money in technology, and technology is part of the DNA of TASC, but it is a people business, and therefore it's a relationship business, relationships with our customers, with our partners, with our colleagues at TASC, and we strive to ensure that we are providing an innovative and empowered culture for the people to come to TASC. We'll hire almost 1,000 people this year. Mm-hmm. And your point about the competitiveness of hiring people of these skills, of these capabilities, with this knowledge, but also with high-level clearances is a real challenge, mm-hmm. but we'll do it.
I know you're not the HR guy, so I'm not asking for individual job descriptions. But tell me what areas you're hiring, because I think that's instructive to where you think your company's going to go and where you think growth opportunities are.
One point I would make, Francis, is that we're not hiring for just a single type of person. Mm-hmm. In companies like TASC, particularly of its scale and so forth, we have to have not only the senior-level PhD scientist, but we need young, bright engineers that are coming out of college. Mm-hmm. And so we have a very active and aggressive college recruiting program. So it's across the board in that regard. To answer your question, or to attempt to answer your question, what over 75% of our people are engineers or scientists or high-level analysts.
Mm-hmm. Bringing those people in obviously kind of belies a very high-end technological focus of the company, and we've talked about the services that you provide and so on. I imagine you were very happy to hear what President Obama had to say about technology in the State of the Union address, but a lot of the analysis that I've seen of that speech since it happened was the maybe disconnect between what people like you who are involved in the government IT market and what the average citizen who's not see when they look at what the government does. Talk about the fear that some people have expressed that the American people might think we just have to sprinkle a little technology on all of our problems and they'll go away. Positive attitude was good to hear from the president, I think, but maybe not quite as fair to the people like you that provide these services and actually have to do the heavy lifting.
I think, Francis, that as I said a moment ago, technology is part of the DNA of TASC mm-hmm. and many of our competitors, but I do not believe that all we have to do is sprinkle a little technology on our problems. When we're talking about the systems and the platforms and the programs of the United States government, particularly in the national security, the critical infrastructure spaces, we're talking about huge, extraordinarily complex programs. So the idea of interoperability, the idea of how is this system going to actually operate in the cold environs of space or in the heat of Afghanistan, whatever the right environmental context may be, mm-hmm. it is extraordinarily complex, and you need a team, a company like TASC, that can come and bring the different elements of technology, the different elements of process, and those analyses that make the trades between risk and cost and schedule and mission that have to be done. Mm-hmm. It's not just taking a little technology.
Yeah.
It's much more complex.
And a lot of the analysis that I saw in the State of the Union was focused around the idea that it's not going to be as simple as right. maybe the president wanted to make it sound.
I think that's correct. Now, I'm not going to analyze the president's speech, but I'll just restate what I did a moment ago. What we're talking about in terms of what TASC does with our customers in the national security, the intelligence, the DOD, and the critical infrastructure space, it is just extraordinarily complex in that high-level systems engineering, technical analysis skill has to be brought to bear to have a systems of systems view mm-hmm. that will enable us to help our customers be successful in their mission.
Is the disconnect between the desire to use more technology or be more involved in things like social media and things like that? For a long time, it seemed that there was a movement toward new kinds of technology, new platforms, without necessarily as much of a sense as we would have liked to have seen of what do we do when we get there.
Yeah.
Are you seeing a better understanding both from the end users who are coming to you and then to the acquisition people and to then come to you and of exactly what it is I want to do with X rather than just having it for the sake of having it or being somewhere for the sake of being there?
I think the answer is absolutely yes. Everyone, government as well as private industry, wants, or the private sector, wants to use technology for the purposes of their enterprise or of their company or the government agency, et cetera. So there's a natural, understandable desire, particularly in the United States, to want to have the best technology. I believe that the government understands that it's not just about having the neatest technology. Mm-hmm. We're talking about missions. We're talking about people's lives are at stake in terms of what's going on around the world. And I think there is a good understanding that it's better to have it work and be effective mm-hmm. vis-a-vis that mission than just to have the coolest thing going.
There's been an emphasis, too, when we talk about requirements and so on. There's been an emphasis that came out in the 25-point plan that Vivek Kundra published a couple of weeks back on collaboration between the agencies and the vendors before the whole process. And I want to dig into that when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Wood Parker's my guest. He's president. CEO of TASC, and we'll continue our conversation shortly.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is trying to sneak out of a really boring meeting wearing tap shoes a bad idea?
Sales growth has increased 2.9%. That's a reflection of aggressive. Ben, where are you going?
Nowhere. Headed back to my seat now.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
Hey, Caps fans, make sure you check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com. These are awesome sites where players, parents, coaches, and fans of all ages can find everything there is to know about hockey, including the basic rules of the game, advanced coaching strategies, and information on youth hockey programs in the D.C. area. You'll also find plenty of instructional videos and tips featuring Caps coaches and players. For all this and more, check out the Caps Academy and youth hockey websites at WashingtonCaps.com.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Wood Parker, President and CEO of TASC. And I mentioned during one of the highlights, when you came in today, you had a glow about you that I wasn't able to identify until I looked at your bio again and noticed that it's the national champion's glow, being a tiger, an Auburn tiger as you are.
War Eagle.
Yeah, exactly. An exciting year for you, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And we keep hearing that Cam Newton might wind up here. What do you think of that?
I would welcome that.
Yeah, would be a good deal for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't
look what he did for the Auburn Tigers.
Well,
I think he could help the Washington Redskins.
Well, there you have it. All right. Before the break, we were talking about the idea of just the collaborating with the agency to vendor collaboration before the RFP process, way early on. And some of the scandals that have made the headlines have made a number of agency people really skittish about talking to you and your peers at other companies. Before the whole process of determining requirements begins. And Dan Gordon has talked a lot about it. Anish and Vivek have all said, everybody's pushing the idea that we need, Martha Johnson too, we need to work together, really need to partner at all parts of the process, not just once there's an RFP out there. Are we getting somewhere with this finally, or are we still kind of stuck where we have been stuck for a while?
I don't think we're necessarily stuck, Francis, although there are some people that are very hesitant to have those conversations, as you indicated. TASC wants to be the most trusted advisor to the federal government, and the key term there is trust.
Mm-hmm.
For us to be able to be good partners with our customers, there needs to be that mutual trust so that the government knows that we follow the rules. And there are rules which we recognize. The integrity is an important part of our DNA, and we're going to abide by the rules. But for us to be good partners to help our customers succeed in their mission, there needs to be that collaboration. There needs to be that communication. There needs to be that openness leading to that mutual trust.
Mm-hmm. We talked about requirements and so on earlier in the show, and one of the things that I've been heartened by, just as an outside observer, is that all of the folks who have talked about this issue in the administration have all said, the message that's been conveyed, what I read between the lines, I should say, is we don't need more rules. We have a FAR. We have this stuff's already there. Read it and understand it and learn to use it to your advantage, Mr. and Ms. Agency Person, so that you get good requirements for your projects and you don't wind up in the situation that some people are finding themselves in. Does that make sense to you?
I agree 100% with that.
As we move along, we're starting to run out of time, and I'm real sorry about that because there's a lot more I'd like to cover. If you and I sat down and had this conversation, say, a year or 18 months from now, what do you think would be different about your company, if anything? Maybe the kind of work that you're doing, anything like that. Where do you see yourself, your company, going in the next year or two?
Francis, I think that if you go back to the earlier part of our conversation when I pointed out that we are a newly independent company,
mm-hmm.
and that we have the opportunity to bring the capabilities and skills and services that we provided primarily to the intelligence community, we can provide them to the Department of Defense, the civil part of the federal government and so forth. My hope is that when I'm back here in 18 months, if not sooner, that the company will be recognized of providing that high-end capability, the innovation. We talked about technology.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is the innovation of how do you use the technology that we currently have perhaps differently mm-hmm. than we have in the past. So my main hope would be that TASC would be recognized as a company that is helping other parts of the federal government that are available to us today that we were not able to pursue in a year, year and a half ago, and we would be recognized just as we're recognized in our legacy environments.
What would you like to see different about the way that you do business with the government? What would you like to see different on the government side in that year or year and a half?
Well, we've talked about a number of issues here, and I would hope that the issue of trust, from a technology and a mission perspective, TASC wants to be the company to whom the government turns with their most challenging, most difficult, most vexing challenges and problems.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to do that, we've got to have that trust. And although we have wonderful relationships with many, many of our customers, my hope would be that that mutual trust would be enhanced as we go forward so that we together can support the warfighters, support the end users, support the missions of these customers in this very dangerous world in which we live.
I'll look forward to that conversation and to get an idea of where you have been headed and where you will be headed at that point in time. It's been a pleasure to have you. Wood Parker, President and CEO of TASC, thanks for coming in today.
It's been my pleasure, Francis. I've enjoyed it very much.